It's election day. So before you listen to this episode, make sure you go vote if you have not already. It is so important. Also, newsflash, we are in divisive times. We wanted to take time to address how to walk out your relationships and hospitality before the election results are tallied. How do we do these things practically do not depend on circumstances or election results? Join us at the table as we discuss how we plan to do this.
Welcome to the Steel Magnolias Podcast. We are two sisters here to have uplifting conversations about life in the South.
The South is full of beautiful diversity in landscape, people groups, and culture, and we want to showcase each part. We've got plenty of room at our table, so pull up your chair. Welcome, y'all. I'm Lainey.
And I'm Laura Beth.
And we got a wonderful topic to discuss. Maybe a little heavier than normal, a little bit heavier than music styles or food.
True. Good Lord. We've done sister chats before, which is kind of the format that we're going to use for this discussion. But we haven't done one, I don't think, during election week because who wants to talk about it, right? But we need to talk about it.
It is a real thing that we all need help with. And this particular episode is going to feel a bit more built on our Christian faith,
yeah,
because truly that is the only way we know how to walk out loving people who think differently than we do.
That is so true. I'm laughing because it's true, painfully true.
I don't apologize for this being very built on Christian faith, but for those of you guys that are listening that don't follow Jesus, it may feel a little bit foreign. And if you aren't following Jesus yet, we still love you. But honestly, I just don't have a lot to offer on how to walk this out practically, other than maybe getting outside in nature and doing some deep breathing exercises. Both of those kind of at least temporarily calm the nerves.
Yeah, I mean, I took a deep breath even when you said that. Breathing does wonders for our just anxious bodies and
yes,
just the stuff we carry. And that's so good. Yes.
I mean, both of those things are great, but they're not nearly as helpful as doing those things and other things we're going to mention with the mind of Christ.
Absolutely. Because I can breathe well all day and still be very frustrated. And
or go outside in nature on a walk, and as soon as you come back in to
right,
the people who make your blood pressure go up,
or right,
the social media that makes your blood pressure go up, it's back.
You just got grounded, and then now you're back on sinking sand, as they say.
Exactly.
As soon as you, yeah, turn on to the television. So
there's your preface.
Well, I'm glad you said that up front, because that's all I've got, too.
Okay.
I mean, I'm going to lean really heavily on some scripture, like a sermon outline that I saw.
Ooh.
From another church, also.
Okay.
I just want y'all to know, too, that, like, we are really strong proponents of not getting in one little bubble of your people that you're around, that you listen to, like
your echo chamber, if you will. Right? That's what I call
it.
Yeah,
that's a good word. I'm not familiar with that term, but yeah.
Well, it's like everybody that you like and that you listen to thinks just like you do. And
yeah,
it really is a thing.
Right.
Like that's, and then if there's somebody that opposes that, it's like, ooh.
You don't even know what to do. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'll be leaning heavily on some sermon notes from a local church that's not even our church.
Okay. Well, cool. Well, Jesus is Lord. I mean, his plans are going to come forth regardless of who's in the White House or who's ruling over your particular nation of habitation. I do believe he expects us to pray and obey his promptings. And sometimes those promptings are practical things like running for office or
somebody's got to
campaigning
right,
for a candidate or whatever, shaping an area of media or journalism. But I just wanted to upfront also say God is not shaken by the systems of this world. And politics is a system of this world. It's under him. It's not like he freaks out.
Oh, 100%.
Over any of that.
Right. Yeah. This is just one area of society.
Yep.
In the midst of many, many areas. Like I'm just going to go ahead and jump in here and say, I love the way this local pastor said, we are to participate in a flourishing of society. Okay, so what he's saying is like in Jeremiah 29:7, so the book of Jeremiah from the Bible, chapter 29, verse 7, we're encouraged to pray for peace and prosperity. And whether consciously or unconsciously, our minds are made up as we consider policy, competency, or character. And so we have an opportunity to participate in the flourishing of society then to vote. That's what you're saying, to run, to vote for whatever candidates we believe are going to produce the greatest human flourishing.
That's right. Because if our city or our county or our country prospers, we also do.
Absolutely.
That's part of what that scripture goes on to say.
Exactly.
So that's good. So good. Well, when you wake up on Wednesday morning, if you're listening to this on Tuesday, Election Day, or whatever the days to come, whenever you listen to this, get in the Word of God and worship Him. And our worship, I'm saying this to myself, my worship should not be more or less, regardless of the outcome of the election.
Oh, Lainey, that's so good. That is so good.
And it shouldn't be louder.
We can say
this. It shouldn't be longer. Mm-hmm. It should be the same, regardless of who. We can thank Him, or we can whatever, if that's what you want to do. Or not think, you know, beg for mercy, whatever. But I'm just saying that the worship should come forth regardless.
That is so good. And yeah, we're in a interesting position, even with our mouths running on these microphones, because we're close to the election at the time we're recording this. But yeah, we're pre-election saying these words. So I'm really glad to
hear.
And
I am saying it to my
own heart. You say that because I'm listening, saying it to myself. I should not be hitting the roof with excitement and going, praise the Lord, or, you know.
Woe is us.
We're doom and gloom.
And it's all important. I'm not
making
light of any of that.
No, that's good, because the point is Jesus.
That's right. The King of Kings.
Whether the 5th
over
of November
the
went how you wanted it to or not. Yes.
Now, I also will say, after we've been in His Word and after we've worshiped, because don't try to do this without those two things, or you're going to have to muster up a whole bunch of weird stuff. We get to release an atmosphere of peace. We get to be a peace ambassador.
And don't we love peace? We love spreading peace. Good Lord, we even came up with sweatshirts that said peace be with y'all.
I may wear mine on.
That's a great idea.
Wear it on Wednesday morning.
I'm going to do that. If it's cold, I'm in my sweatshirt.
Yeah. That's right. Well, we get to release peace in our families, in our friend circles, in our places of work, in our sphere of influence. And it's a privilege to do that. We should not be contributing to chaos. And there will be some, I'm sure. We get to be ambassadors of peace.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm just reminded, too, that when we're praying for any governing leaders, you know, there's a lot of election happening. So on a local level, you might be watching a race with, you know, more interest even than our presidential race, depending on where you live in the country. But we are called to pray for wisdom and guidance for these leaders to have full surrender to order, justice, virtue, and prosperity. So prayer helps us trust in God's sovereignty. Like when we pray, we are inviting God into the concern. That's the exchange.
Yes.
Not, I prayed, now you're going to give me what I want, right?
Yeah, that's a whole different gospel that's not biblical.
No, it's not. I should,
the vending machine God.
That's right. That's a really good analogy. Yes.
Oh, me. Well,
yeah, so
it's difficult to remain in relationships with people who have very different political views than us, and especially if we're passionate about those issues.
Yeah.
But
and
our
it's
political
okay
views,
to be passionate.
It is. I think it's a beautiful thing. But our political views are not the whole of who we are. Well, I mean, at least it shouldn't be.
Right. Even if that's your career.
Yeah, that should not
be the
top thing of your identity.
Right.
So keep this in mind when you're with your family and friends that see things differently, is that that is not the whole of who they are or who you are. In fact, I think having friends that think differently can be very enriching.
Absolutely.
Because you get a better perspective of people and their experiences, and it makes you think broader about how they got to where they are and all of that. So
I just actually finished leading a group of women through a study on community, and it was called Craving Community by a company called the Daily Grace Company. And there was a section talking about how hard, you know, it's of course just like a study that you can do any time of the year.
Yeah.
We just happened to be doing it.
Just happened
the month
to
of
be,
October. Right. So in the month of October, obviously, as we're having discussions as a group, a lot of us were thinking about how hard it is to maintain friendships in disagreeing and divisive times. But I thought this was so interesting. One of the nuggets from that study said, "And when we in our sin were despicable to God, Christ broke out the fine china. Jesus chose to associate with us even though we have sinned against him. He got out the quality linen tablecloth and spread it across the table. He laid out all the good silverware, crystal glasses. He offered his body as the bread and his blood as the wine, sustenance for all who will come. Our God is not afraid to sit in the seat next to us. And therefore," now this is my addition to that nugget, "therefore he gives us the strength and grace to sit with those that think or act differently than we do."
So
that's how we get there.
Good.
That's why we have to have him. And it's more than what we were saying in the beginning. It's than just getting some fresh air.
That's right. Because I can do that with a fake smile on my face. I can put the linen out and turn on a fake smile. But to really love someone that is on the other side of the fence,
right?
It takes Jesus's help, the Holy Spirit's help, the Trinity's help.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I love something that our friend Pastor Glenda says, and that is, when you read the Beatitudes, it gives you the attitudes you need to be in.
I love, she always has a good play on words.
Yes.
That is her MO for sure. I love that. Yeah.
Now, that is Matthew chapter 5. It's called the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus goes through a beautiful teaching on how to treat people, how to treat one another.
Mm-hmm. And how to be blessed. He tells us exactly how to get blessed.
That's right. So I just really encourage people to read that on Wednesday morning or whatever days to come that you need. I mean, really, every day we need to read that. Because it does seem impossible in our own flesh to do this. You can't muster it up. And so Jesus has his words so that we know how to walk this out. And that chapter 5 of Matthew also includes, it's so good, the whole chapter, but
it
also includes the portion that's called Love Your Enemies. Hmm. And, you know, Jesus was able to wash the feet of the very one who betrayed him. And that is so astounding to me, because we really are called, like you just said, to serve.
Yeah.
Our enemies. And that word I'm doing in quotes, because it's been hard for me to use that word, because it makes it like, oh, it's hard to love someone who you see as that.
Yeah, it sounds already like you're setting up sides.
Yes.
Right? It's us versus. So if
that's hard.
It is.
But yet, you know, God called me an enemy in his word.
And me too. I have been an enemy of God.
Like, that sounds so dramatic, but if we're not surrendered to him and walking in his ways, then we're an enemy.
Right.
So, can I read that little
portion?
Yeah,
absolutely. Three verses.
It's five, actually.
We've got time.
Okay. "You have heard it said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? You therefore must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. He's calling us to that level because with the Holy Spirit's help, we can do
it. It's possible, right? Somebody just thought, well, there's no way I could be perfect.
Nope, you can't. Knowing you can't. But guess what? With his help, you can.
That's right. That is so good.
And it ain't going to just come from going out on a walk and doing deep breathing. I mean, that's what I found. It does help, but very temporarily.
Yeah. So I love that. And I love also just the way that we have to remember how daily all of this is.
Yes.
I mean, we're going to get through this week. And then something else is going to happen.
And guess what? Thanksgiving's coming. I always think that's interesting, too. Elections. And then what? 2-3 weeks later?
Right.
Thanksgiving.
Yeah. Anybody have disagreeing thoughts or ideas around this table? No one? Okay. Right.
Like, oh my goodness.
What family is all on the same page?
Wow. Yeah.
That would actually be such a weird thing to witness, if a family, like a big table,
and everybody thought of, I mean, that's like something robotic and weird.
It's not.
Well, I also, this morning at in our church service, our pastor made reference to the pilgrims that came here.
Mm.
And he said they did not come for religious liberty. They came to be a city on a hill.
Okay.
And that's fascinating to think about, like, because we are called to be salt, we're called to be light. And when we're a city on a hill, we are glowing in such a way that people want to come.
Yes.
So yeah. there's your charge.
There you go. And people do still want to come, but I don't know for what all the reasons these days.
But regardless, if their reasons are right or their reasons are wrong, being a city on a hill, our mandate is the same.
Exactly.
That's kind of,
you know. That's good. Yeah. I love that.
We're also called to pray for our leaders, the ones you like, the ones you don't like. And you can commit to pray for the ones who are elected before the results even come in.
That's
if you're listening to this before the election's results come in.
Maybe even just pause right now. Hit the pause button.
I am going to pray for the president and the senators and the whatever you have on your ballot. Alderman, mayor, county commissioner.
Yeah. School board, all of it.
They all matter. In fact, some of those
you feel it more
lower
than
ones hit your house even closer.
Absolutely.
Right?
So, yeah. I never understood that until later in life.
Mm-hmm.
It just seemed impossible that a local official would impact me more than my own president. But it's true.
It's true.
You feel it more.
It really can. So there's so many scriptures. I actually put down 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. I'm not going to go over all of these scriptures. You can look them up yourself, or we can put them in the show notes.
We'll just put them in our show description, yeah.
But 1 Timothy 2 is a big one that we hear. It says, I urge then, first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness.
And you know what I love about that word intercession that's used right in the middle of that list is it's just a standing in the gap. So even if you feel like this prayer is not going to change anything, you can actually take on a position that you're praying on behalf of your whole state.
Yep. Yep.
For this nation.
Yep.
Right? Like, you can be like, I am standing here on behalf of the state of Tennessee today, asking you, Jesus.
Yep. That's right. And we can also, I'm getting into something I didn't even have in my notes, but identificational repentance is something when you repent for the sins of your nation, that doesn't necessarily mean you did
it. You did it. But you have a given authority
as a member of that society to stand in that gap and say, you know, I'm praying for this issue that's not okay in God's eyes as a citizen, not as one who maybe even actually did that sin.
Yeah, but if any part of the the people group, the state, yep. the city that I live in
did that or is doing that, then
why would I not want to get right and get cleansed? Yeah.
And some of the scriptures make reference to praying. It'll say something along the lines of honoring the emperor or, mm-hmm. you know, rend to Caesar what is Caesar. All of these kinds of things that are the rulers of that time. But it's still the same. Whoever your rulers are, we're to pray for them.
And again, just inviting God into the concerns of our heart. That's all we're doing. I'm concerned about this, Lord. So I'm praying about it. I'm going to lift and get the names. If you don't know the names, just go to your city of whatever website and look up what are the names of, you know,
your mayor and alderman or whatever your city has and that kind of thing. So good.
The other part of, and this is sort of the final note I'll make on the sermon I referenced that was just so good. I'll link to it in the show notes if anyone wants to go hear it in its entirety. But he was just talking about more of an eternal perspective.
Yes. And so
beyond this day, like just trying to zoom out, right? And there's a scripture in Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, and it tells us to set your hearts and minds on things above.
Yes.
So rather than being consumed by all this anxiety around us, and there's anxiety outside of politics. I mean, there's just anxiety, right?
Rampant.
We're called to trust God's eternal plan and focus on his kingdom, knowing he is in control over earthly politics. That's a hard statement to swallow.
Well, it is, but there's scriptures that back it up, some of which I had down in the show notes. I mean, that we'll have in the show notes.
Right.
Because, you know, there's a proverb that says that the king's heart is a stream of water in the hand of the Lord. He turns it wherever he will.
Wow.
That's his purposes are going to come forth.
That's
what I'm saying. Either through hardships or through beautiful things or through laws or...
Right.
Through chaos, you know, it's his plans are coming forth.
That's true.
So,
and he himself has eternally existed and will continue to exist through this election season and the next election season. And he is going to reign and preside over it all.
Whether America continues to exist or not.
Exactly.
That's pretty wild to think about.
So, yes, set your heart on things above. Let the peace of God rule.
Well, I wanted to also mention, I'm not saying these two human beings did this perfectly, but Supreme Court Justices Antonin Scalia and Ruth Bader Ginsburg had very opposing ideological beliefs, yet they maintained a close and respectful friendship.
Mm-hmm.
How in the world did they do that?
Yeah, I know.
So I don't know what all that looked like in all of their conversations, but I do know from reading something, and I watched a documentary that included this one time, they shared a love of opera and travel. So they chose to kind of keep their eyes on the unifying aspects mm-hmm. of their relationship. Mm-hmm. Now,
smart.
That is a way. That's mm-hmm. a tactic that mm-hmm. you can use for people who think differently than you, is to see where you are mm-hmm. on common ground.
Because you have something in common, I'm sure.
And so, anyhow, I just wanted to mention those two people because those are people that had such different beliefs about the political realm.
About huge topics. It's a wonder they even got to opera and travel, but they did.
So, I don't know. I believe that praying for people who see things differently than us does lead us to have a heart of love for them. And I just encourage you all to try that.
Yes.
Be one that releases peace wherever you go. In the midst of all of the chaos around you, release peace and be salt and be light and all those beautiful things that Matthew 5 has to say. And today I'm just hugging each of you all, listeners, virtually. And these are not just flippant words that we use to end this podcast. I truly hope that God's peace will be with y'all.
You've just listened to an episode of the Steel Magnolias Podcast, an independent show funded solely on support from listeners like you and a few advertisers from time to time. For reminders of what we just said and links to what we just mentioned, take a look at the description of this episode. They are right there. Are you enjoying the show? We hope you'll text a friend or loved one to tell them about this podcast. And make sure they know how to get to a podcast first. We invite you to join our mailing list to be the first to know about episodes, giveaways, and events. Sign up at steelmagnoliaspodcast.com.
Ohio seniors, it's time to make the right call for better Medicare benefits with Medical Mutual. Plans start at $0 per month and include $0 doctor visits and $0 generic prescription drugs. Visit medmutual.com/review or call 1-866-966-9338 to find a plan today. MedMutual Advantage plans are HMO, HMO, POS, and PPO plans offered by Medical Mutual of Ohio with a Medicare contract. Enrollment in a MedMutual Advantage plan depends on contract renewal.